Okay, it's time to talk wheels. It's the Car Guy Show with automotive consumer tips, industry updates, interviews, and enthusiast news. If you care about cars, this show's for you. Now you're tuned in, so let's get tuned up with your host. Here he is, Steve Ford, the Car Guy.
Hello and welcome to another segment of the Car Guy Show here, coming at you from the broadcast tower of News Talk 990 KTMS. And at the speed of light on the World Wide Web, we're connecting you to automotive consumer and enthusiast news, insights, and interviews anywhere you're hearing our signal in Santa Barbara and the surrounding communities. In today's program, we're going to move into a variety show, starting with the motorsports topic with an update of Formula One, and then over to consumer and car care news of antifreeze turning into 8 different coolants and more in the future potentially. Wisdom on that topic from Phil Yonander from Larry's Auto Parts ahead. Stay with us.
May I help you?
Yeah, you stock serpentine belts?
Serpentine? What do you have, a snake under your hood? Parts counter, what's up?
Yeah, I need pads and rotors for an 02 Ford Mustang.
Pads and a distributor rotor? You mean pads and drums?
No, pads and rotors. I think I'll try a few more calls.
Larry's Auto Parts, Phil.
I'm looking for pads and front rotors for an 02 Mustang.
Okay, we stocked the pads. What's your concern on the rotors?
Sounds like the pads have just hit metal.
Well, bring them in and let's measure them. There's a good chance we can machine them for a fresh surface and save you money, too.
Well, yeah. Hey, what about windshield wipers?
Well, we stock wipers and we offer free installation. And in most cases, just the refills without buying the entire blade.
More than auto parts, more than service. Along with a national CarQuest brand. Expertise you experience every visit. Larry's 8-Day Auto Parts, Old Town. Goleta, 964-3545. That's 964-3545.
I'm Larry's Auto Parts owner, Phil Yonander. Our team is here to be your solution.
In the old-time movies, you used to see an automobile junkyard as a place with rusty old wrecks and big cranes scrapping obsolete machines. Those days were black and white, and today's a world of digital full color. And in the new era of the green car, Steelhead Auto Recycling is at the leading edge of used auto parts. As new and future cars approach 100% recyclability, more than 70% of even older car and truck parts find new life as they come back in service at Steelhead Auto Recyclers, which means huge savings for you. You'll save on major parts such as engines and transmissions, but you can also repair and refresh your wheels with money-saving body trim and accessory parts from hubcaps to glass, doors, fenders, taillights, and accessories. With a full-service counter and national parts search power and the new self-service section at Steelhead Auto Recycling, you'll save both ways, plus the security of a full 90-day warranty on all parts. Digital on the web at buyused.net or analog by phone at 683-8557. That's 683-8557. Steelhead Auto Recycling.
When it comes to keeping your wheels looking like new, whether you're a passionate car buff or a daily commuter who simply seeks the best in value and integrity, there's a name in Santa Barbara that fits both profiles. Tri-County Auto Glass. Today's auto glass installers all have to service more sophisticated and precise automobiles than just a decade ago. And while the majority of auto glass businesses have state-of-the-art tools and equipment, what we all know is harder to find are the industry-certified craftspeople and the highest levels of customer service, which is why Tri-County Glass customers range from Concord Elegance level show car owners to everyday family sedan and pickup truck owners. Rock chip repairs or glass replacement with lifetime repair credit and 30 years in Santa Barbara. While a positive word of mouth reputation may bring you in, courtesy, quality, and that new window glass shine will bring you back. Tri-County Auto Glass, downtown Santa Barbara. Call them or stop in for a quote on a window repair or replacement today. 963-6200. That's 963-6200.
I'm Scott Budo, owner, manager, and a certified auto glass technician. At Tri-County Auto Glass, we are about quality, safety, and value.
And now, another automotive tip from the Car Guy, Steve Ford.
One danger of long-distance travel is falling asleep at the wheel. Statistics show that drowsiness plays a role in more than 200,000 collisions each year. Driving while tired reduces your attention and reaction time, but there are some things you can do to reduce driving fatigue. Here are a few from the Automobile Club of Southern California. Get a good night's sleep before starting a trip. Stop and take a driving break about every 2 hours with a stretch or brisk walk around to get your circulation going. And drive during times when you're normally alert. Most people experience sleepiness between midnight and 7 a.m. or between 2 and 5 p.m. If you have to drive during these hours, pull off the road and take short naps. Also, watch use of medications, avoid alcohol, and if you do feel your eyes want to close, just stop driving. There's always enough time to save a life. Keeping you driving wise, I'm Steve Ford, the Car Guy.
So you're one of those lucky car enthusiasts who has the privilege of owning a rare, vintage, antique, or maybe one of those British specialty cars, the kind that makes heads turn and brings compliments at stoplights. Let's say a Model A Ford, a 29 Buick, or one of those stunning Packards from the 1930s. But one of the challenges of these rare vehicles is finding an auto professional who can wake up that historic machine so the engine will sing that special tune, or have headlights that both glow equally. Maybe just an old-fashioned tune-up the way it used to be, or even servicing that other ancient device, a carburetor. Sounds like a long time ago? Not at East West Motors, where servicing, repairing, and reviving mechanical gems is a daily craft. Owned and operated by a veteran Concours d'Elegance judge who knows what 100-point quality looks like. At East West Motors, you experience what 100-point collector car service feels like. Call 965-7003. That's 965-7003. It's the best shop this side of Radiator Springs.
My name is Roy Miller, and I approve of this message.
Okay, we're back with you here on the Car Guy Show, broadcast via News Talk 990 KTMS Santa Barbara, with insights on the world of wheels at speed with the motorsports man Bob Stockton. Very dramatic shifting going on, no pun intended, in the motorsports world. Fascinating to watch Formula One, where youth is clearly the definition on top of technology for the drivers that continue to dominate the sport. They're kind of like fighter pilots, wouldn't you say?
Well, very, very good comparison. The youngest is perhaps the most successful. Sebastian Vettel won his third straight Formula One championship this year, Steve. A phenomenal accomplishment for a man so young.
What is he, 23, 24?
I think he's younger, 21, 22. He's just amazing.
He's displacing some of the drivers that have dominated the sport over the past 5 years. He's come in very quickly.
And historically, Steve, he's on a pace to be exceeding Fangio and Michael Schumacher if the man continues to drive the way he's been driving. And this season also, which has been pretty exciting because he's had some mechanical failures so that really forced him to drive very, very well toward the end of the season to win.
I do recall, if I'm correct, that he had a race where he entered and fell to the back of the pack and then came back up from the back of the pack, and he didn't win. But am I correct? Didn't he have one spectacular comeback during this year?
Correct. It was amazing. Yeah. He ended up because of a snafu having to start from the back of the grid. Yeah. And through superb team management, and I will say, Steve, team management is phenomenal, the way they manage their tires. Yeah. The engineers can watch exactly when lap times fall off, bring them in, they look at what's going on out on the track with traffic. Yep. To know when they go out, they won't have a lot of cars in front of them to have to pass.
Yeah.
It's just been amazing, the technology.
Yeah. Sure. Hey, Bob, with you being inside the motorsports world, having worked with Goodyear and been a driver yourself and experiencing what it's like out there and being a journalist today, I should tell the audience, you're in South Carolina, but you've spent many years of your career both writing about and publicizing the motorsports world, and then you've driven, I should tell the audience, that you're a sports car, SCCA driver from early days?
Way back when.
Yeah. Okay. So that's humble of you. When you drive your wife, you don't try to impress her with your Formula One driving skills, right?
Not at all.
All right. Got it. Otherwise, she'll slap you. Hey, here's the question. The technology, you know, for the audience who are motorsports buffs, they know exactly what you're talking about with Formula One. But would you give us a quick snapshot of the weight of Formula One cars, the power, the speeds, just so they can appreciate why Formula One is the premier level? It's almost like aviation level technology. Would I be correct in that description?
Oh, yeah. Kevlar fiber construction on the chassis, incredibly advanced suspension systems, tire technology.
So speeds of what and what power, what's the horsepower of the engines? These weigh 1,300 pounds, 1,200 pounds?
Thereabouts, right. And theoretically, that the aerodynamics of the car, if they went through a perfectly round tunnel and they went up the wall, the aerodynamics would suck them to the ceiling.
Well, let me clarify. You're saying that the faster they go, the more they have downforce.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. If you can get over that terror of going into a turn at a high speed, you get to a certain point where the higher you go, the more downforce you generate.
So the speeds they're hitting, for the audience that would appreciate Formula One today, their average speeds, their top speeds, or any specs or stats?
Well, top speeds are over 200 miles an hour. They're limited only by the length of the straight.
Yep.
But the RPM generated by engines is up around 18,000 RPM, which was unheard of 10 years
ago.
So
you thought you were driving down the freeway shifting gears in your family sedan at 3,500 RPM, and it felt like you were roaring the motor. Try 18,000 RPM. I just want to help the audience who might be everyday motorists just appreciate the technology that's being developed and perfected in Formula One trickles down, doesn't it, to what we're driving every day?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. There's a KERS, they call it, kinetic energy recovery system, which generates energy under braking.
Yeah.
And that technology is going to find its way into a Porsche supercar, the 918, that's being developed right now.
Yeah.
The way that technology trickles down is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Some technology, of course, doesn't. The drag reduction system, where they take the airfoils in the rear wing and level them out to pass one another,
yeah,
that probably won't get into
I would love to have that on the highway when you have a two-lane highway and I need about all that horsepower. I want to pass a big rig or something and they want me to go by fast. I'd like that. Now, let me back up, though. Kidding aside, the technology you're talking about could find its way into high-speed vehicles, let's say in 2050 or 2040. You look at what was, and I'm just projecting a hypothetical situation, but much of the Formula One technology from the 30s and, well, Formula One, going back, let's say, 10, 20 years ago, there's technology from those vehicles in family sedans today, in some cases. You look at fuel injection.
Oh, and even 18-wheelers, Steve. Yeah. You look at the big things over the cab that give it better aerodynamics. Nowadays,
sure,
you're seeing skirts underneath the trailers that bring the air around the rear axles. It's phenomenal.
All truck drivers are loving you talking about their Formula One trucks. I like that, you know. Okay, so in your year-end wrap-up, I mean, we'll talk more in segments of the shows ahead, but for the audience today, that's a little snapshot for you. If you're not into Formula One yet, or you don't plan to be, but you're curious about the speeds they go, more than 200 miles per hour in the straightaways, they can go from 0 to 60 in what, 2 seconds?
Yes.
So, again, it's pretty fun to think about 18,000 RPM, 200 miles per hour, and the faster you go, the stickier the car gets, the opposite of what we experience with our cars, production cars, on everyday highways. Fair enough?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and starting this year, you could see all of this circus right here in the U.S. of A. We had our first United States Grand Prix in Austin, Texas, in some time here in this country, and it was a smashing success.
It's been pretty dramatic to get that event to even occur. For the United States to host that, I don't want to say an act of Congress, but it was quite a geopolitical hurdle, and it is something to be saluted. What's it mean to Formula One that the United States is back in?
Oh, it's wondrous, and to have it done was a physical miracle almost, let alone a financial and political miracle.
What's the physical? What's the physical miracle?
Well, they carved a track because of the short deadline. It was a very short deadline.
Okay.
And by the time the cars were there, the track was completed against the naysayers.
Yeah.
It all went off extremely well. Circuit of the Americas in Austin, Texas. And it will be hosting other events, AMA events, sports car events.
When you say AMA, that's American Motorcycle Association?
Yes, American Motorcycle Association,
okay.
Right.
Cool stuff. Anybody that's seen the motorcycle world evolve, the same thing. Formula One bikes, they have the same kind of advanced technology, right?
Yes.
So, Bob, that's kind of taking folks in for a close-up of Formula One, why it matters. Who are your prediction folks who are going to surge in the pack into 2013 for Formula One?
Well, Red Bull remains at the top. Ferrari will remain at the top with Fernando Alonso. And I would think that the move by Lewis Hamilton to Mercedes, Team Mercedes, who's a former world champion, he's moving from McLaren to Mercedes. And I would think he's going to give that, because Michael Schumacher is finally going to retire for a second time.
Michael Schumacher's 36, 38?
Yeah. A little long in tooth.
Yeah.
But he retired for a couple of years. Had he not retired, who knows what his record would be, but his record is still incredible.
Unbelievable, sure. So it's kind of that reminder that I want to believe that we can be
very fast in our reflexes, well into some decades of our lives. But that fighter pilot analogy I opened with is just that I think that people can appreciate. You're in an F-18 or an F-22 or whatever the fighter pilot would fly. That's not a lot different from the intensity of a Formula One vehicle. You need that youthful sharpness and vigor and processing speed of your brain. You can't be running a 1 gig hard drive or RAM. You have to be running some heavy RAM to be able to negotiate a Formula One. Is that fair to say? You got to be intelligent and athletic.
Yes, very athletic, in great shape. And yeah. People think about the G forces and the turns being centrifugal force from side to side.
Sure.
But once these guys apply the brakes, the G force just to keep your head upright instead of slumping forward onto your chest is incredible.
Yeah. So when we come back into this topic ahead, I'd love to hit the NASCAR folks out there. And even in the drag racing world, there's some drama and unfolding excitement. And I look at the John Force family with Courtney. I think it's right, Courtney?
Yes. Yeah.
Courtney Force, who is taking on his mantle and I'm sure making him a proud papa. So NASCAR, drag racing, Formula One, we go out to May next year. We talk Indy. Lots going on. So can we get back with you again to do a deep dive into the topic?
Love to do it, Steve. Love to do it.
Okay. Team Bob Stockton, the Motorsports Man, thank you for patching in from the East Coast over there in the Carolinas where the NASCAR folks really are the focus more than Formula One. We'll talk about that ahead. Fair to do?
Excellent, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you. From there, let's go out and take a visit with some of the show's sponsors, and when we come back, we will resume. We'll talk about the upcoming topic, which we promised you we'd come into, car care and automotive coolant, what you need to know as a consumer or a do-it-yourselfer, the mystery of antifreeze turning into 8 different coolants and more in the future potentially. Wisdom on that topic from Phil Unander from Larry's Auto Parts ahead. Stay with us.
When it comes to keeping your wheels looking like new, whether you're a passionate car buff or a daily commuter who simply seeks the best in value and integrity, there's a name in Santa Barbara that fits both profiles. Tri-County Auto Glass. Today's auto glass installers all have to service more sophisticated and precise automobiles than just a decade ago. And while the majority of auto glass businesses have state-of-the-art tools and equipment, what we all know is harder to find are the industry-certified craftspeople and the highest levels of customer service, which is why Tri-County Glass customers range from Concord Elegance level show car owners to everyday family sedan and pickup truck owners. Rock chip repairs or glass replacement with lifetime repair credit and 30 years in Santa Barbara, while a positive word-of-mouth reputation may bring you in, courtesy, quality, and that new window glass shine will bring you back. Tri-County Auto Glass, downtown Santa Barbara. Call them or stop in for a quote on a window repair or replacement today. 963-6200. That's 963-6200.
I'm Scott Budo, owner, manager, and a certified auto glass technician. At Tri-County Auto Glass, we are about quality, safety, and value.
So you're one of those lucky car enthusiasts who has the privilege of owning a rare, vintage, antique, or maybe one of those British specialty cars, the kind that makes heads turn and brings compliments at stoplights. Let's say a Model A Ford, a 29 Buick, or one of those stunning Packards from the 1930s. But one of the challenges of these rare vehicles is finding an auto professional who can wake up that historic machine so the engine will sing that special tune, or have headlights that both glow equally. Maybe just an old-fashioned tune-up the way it used to be, or even servicing that other ancient device, a carburetor. Sounds like a long time ago? Not at East West Motors, where servicing, repairing, and reviving mechanical gems is a daily craft. Owned and operated by a veteran Concord Elegance judge who knows what 100-point quality looks like. At East West Motors, you experience what 100-point collector car service feels like. Call 965-7003. That's 965-7003. It's the best shop this side of Radiator Springs.
My name is Roy Miller, and I approve of this message.
Auto Parts, may I help you?
Yeah, you stock serpentine belts?
Serpentine? What do you have, a snake under your hood? Parts counter, what's up?
Yeah, I need pads and rotors for an 02 Ford Mustang.
Pads and a distributor rotor? You mean pads and drums?
No, pads and rotors. I think I'll try a few more calls.
Larry's Auto Parts, Phil.
I'm looking for pads and front rotors for an 02 Mustang.
Okay, we stocked the pads. What's your concern on the rotors?
Sounds like the pads have just hit metal.
Well, bring them in and let's measure them. There's a good chance we can machine them for a fresh surface and save you money, too.
Well, yeah. Hey, what about windshield wipers?
Well, we stock wipers and we offer free installation. And in most cases, just the refills without buying the entire blade.
More than auto parts, more than service, along with a national CarQuest brand. Expertise you experience every visit. Larry's 8-Day Auto Parts, Old Town, Goleta, 964-3545. That's 964-3545.
I'm Larry's Auto Parts owner, Phil Unander. Our team is here to be your solution.
And we are back with you to roll into our next segment. You're tuned into the Car Guy Show here on News Talk 990 KTMS, talking about automobiles and being a consumer. It used to be in the earliest days of automobiles that tap water, perhaps even well water for that matter, was enough to serve as coolant in those first radiators. Then into the 1960s, 70s, and beyond, we saw the advent of antifreeze, which was a welcomed advancement. After all, when you had plain water in radiators, it would turn to ice at 32 degrees and could even expand to damaged radiators. And the first antifreeze included additives that moved the freezing point well under 0 degrees and eventually up to today's antifreeze products, now called coolant product, that actually lower the freezing point to as much as 34 degrees below zero. Now, that's a good thing, but here's where it's gotten tricky. Automakers have introduced different coolants for their brands, and they're not all compatible. In fact, this critical information means that if you put in the incorrect coolant in your vehicle, it can actually lead to a gelling up of the radiator coolant and even overheating. Now, coolant types split originally into two main products, standard coolant and long life. Along the way, coolant has evolved into various colors. Now, we started with traditional green until 1995, and then General Motors introduced what's called DexCool, which was the first to be orange in color, and later other coolant products and automakers introduced red, yellow, pink, and even a bluish green. Now, beyond serving as antifreeze, these coolants can now also increase the pressurized cooling system boiling point, which is good, to as much as 265 degrees. Plus, they inhibit rust and corrosion and lubricate the water pump. But here's the wrinkle. With all these new coolants, you need to be sure only to use the exact correct type coolant for your specific car. So what happened to antifreeze, and what are we supposed to know about purchasing coolant today? Let's go ask our auto parts expert, Phil Unander. To Larry's Auto Parts, no surprise, the best auto parts store you can go to when you want a straight answer and a quick level of experience. And Phil, your entire team at the counter you mentioned in your commercial is you're all about that service. It's not just the hardware that you put on the counter when you sell the part. It's the experience you have. And yet, you even get challenged. And I know that when we talked before, we flipped the mic on and exchanged a couple of messages. We're talking about coolant. I got a question from a Tony, a listener, who said, you know, speaking of car care, can you help us out here in the audience? I bet you other people would like the same answer. It used to be antifreeze. You just buy 1 gallon, you're good to go. Now, you've got a whole array of them. It's like a whole color scheme of these different coolants, and I think other people out there might appreciate the same answer. What's the deal with coolant? Now we've got so many different types. What's the thought?
See, the manufacturers, and it's a great question, the manufacturers on or around the mid-90s decided to kind of change gears, came up with different coolants to fit their particular needs and their models as they saw it. First one was GM, and GM came out with what they call the DexCool, which is an orange-colored coolant. They started using it in a lot of the GM cars and trucks in the middle to late 90s.
And that was the lifetime or 100,000 miles?
It's supposed to be 100,000 mile right. Plus coolant.
Right.
And there's arguments back and forth on whether or not it was actually 100,000 mile coolant. But
right.
It definitely made people depend on it for 100,000 miles, which, again, the other argument was whether that was correct or not. But you could not mix it with the regular old ethylene glycol, which was colored green, which
that,
is what
that caused
we
the problem
for years and years and years.
Yeah.
So you had to use what was in there, and our question when customers come in and ask for it is, well, what color is the coolant? And
yeah.
Most people don't know, and we try to determine what they have in there so we can give them something that's going to be compatible with what they have.
Right.
Then it got more complicated into the 2000s where Ford started using a gold coolant that was, again, something of their own that you couldn't mix with anything else.
Right.
And then the Europeans got into the act and started using a red one, a blue one, purple one.
You got the whole rainbow.
Oh, yeah, and Toyota uses their own.
Yeah.
Honda now uses their own. And it gets a challenge for all of us to supply the right fluid and also for the customer to not put the wrong stuff in there. And
sure.
Largely, You can replace one with another, but you cannot mix them.
Okay. Now, is there any, just let's flip it around here to the perspective of you and us, the audience and the customers that are doing these coolant changes and top-offs and so on. Is there anything that you've seen or heard that gives legitimacy to all these different coolants, or is it just manufacturers appearing to try to exclusively, you know, monopolize what brand goes into their particular vehicle manufacturer models?
A little bit of both. I think the manufacturers are trying to find something that's going to be compatible with the particular metals and the gaskets that they're using. The technology has come so far from the old days, and they want something that, and there used to be phosphate-free, you know, antifreezes, and they want something that's going to be compatible with the metal used in their engines and going to give it the best chance of lasting a long time without having any kind of coolant deterioration.
Got it. And that's a progressive step welcomed, but the complexity is created for you and your customers. Now, do you stock 8 different types of coolants? Do I have that right?
Yep.
Okay. So right now, Robert at the counter there, when I talked yesterday, said you actually have a new product from Prestone that is a multi-brand coolant. And yet, that's new on the market. It has yet to be proven out in terms of your experience. What's your thought?
It's a couple years out, so it's not brand new. And we have had, within our CarQuest training classes, we've had a couple of classes on fluids. And the instructor challenges that, whether it's actually truly a fit-all. And it may be a fit-all for some, but I do not believe it's a fit-all for all. So I, for the most part, don't trust it. I would use it on the domestic the orange and the gold, but I don't trust it when it gets into the European stuff, and especially when any crossover that there is going to be, if you do it and you do it incorrectly, it can void your warranty.
Okay. So your advice to our audience, Tony, thank you for the email message with a question, and Phil, what's your thought? Then pick one of your 8, take our advice, and steer down the center of the road with the particular brand specific to your vehicle model. Is there hope in the future? We're going to have 20 different, we have 40 different manufacturers and more than 250 different models. It's going to get nuts if we have one coolant for every manufacturer ahead.
Yeah, and we haven't even opened the can of worms concerning lubrication.
Which we'll talk about ahead, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
We'll have you on, Phil. We have to have a longer conversation. Thanks for helping us out, and for Tony and the audience, thanks for your email. You got the answer there from Phil Unander. Straight from the counter's front line. Is that fair to say?
That's fair to say.
Okay. Have a great week, Phil.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care.
So we move over to Ace Miller for a rejoin from last week. Ace Miller, we were in studio, in person, talking together, this time by phone, and it's good to reconnect with you because last week we thought we threw a pretty tough question out there, and we're going to learn something together, as you and I talked about before I turned on the microphone. We got an immediate answer. First in, Betty Jason with the answer to last week's question, which was, what two automobile manufacturers also produce motorcycles? And very fast, I mean, it was this in the afternoon of the show, got an email from Betty Jason, and Betty said, that was an easy one. She says, BMW and Honda. And Ace, is that right for you? That's it.
100% correct, yeah.
So you get I'm not sure if you're going to want a Car Guy t-shirt or sweatshirt, but they're it'll keep you warm in the winter, and you'll look cool. You'll look terrific in the summer if you want to wear the t-shirt version. And I will follow up by email with her, and I'm sure you're impressed because that's a fast, accurate answer. But a second place, we're going to give an additional prize this week because Mike Piccone came in and said, I've actually got 3 manufacturers, don't you agree? And the answer he gave was Honda, Suzuki, and BMW. Ace?
I'm impressed. That's all very true.
Yeah, so
not quite as well known as
Honda.
Suzuki is not quite as well known as obviously Honda and BMW, but it's all true.
Well, better known in the motorcycle world. That's funny. We could be a motorcycle show and say what 3 motorcycle manufacturers also produce cars, and Suzuki would then be a prominent name.
I think you're right.
There you go. So Ace, we come back to you, and I said, you know, I'd like to look up fun trivia and come up with some novel things, but nothing like the bonus package with Ace Miller on history. You've got a question for this week?
Okay. The American automobile industry traditionally has had what we would refer to as the Big 3, General Motors, Chrysler, and Ford.
Detroit.
Being the major manufacturers of automobiles in the
Motown.
Country. And Motown, what's left of it. And so it's fairly easy or straightforward to imagine who started both Ford and Chrysler. Obviously, Henry Ford.
Right.
This is the third attempt at starting an automobile manufacturing company, but the third time was the charm.
It.
And Walter Chrysler, whose background was actually working on locomotives and eventually evolved into automobiles and worked for General Motors.
Amazing.
In charge of Buick division.
So if you can imagine, there was a Chrysler at Buick before there was a Chrysler.
That is very true. I couldn't have put it better. Yeah.
All right.
Well, anyway, he eventually acquired, because he had great management skills, he acquired a company called Maxwell and eventually bought Maxwell. And there, in 1924, there was Chrysler Corporation.
If he had stayed there, there might be a Maxwell to this day.
Exactly right, yeah.
Yeah, then he jumped over.
So the question now is, well, we know who founded both Ford and Chrysler, but who was it that started General Motors?
And it's not General Motors, as in the military thing. You and I laugh before we turn the mic on.
That is correct. So, we don't want to hear that answer. Right. You're not going to
get
anything.
Can I give a hint?
A hint. Well, there was some, if this helps at all, this individual background had to do with carriages.
Okay.
Horse-drawn carriages.
And horse-drawn carriages is what we still have today. They're just horsepower-drawn cars.
That's right. And in those days, they were referred to as horseless carriages.
Right on. So if you have the answer to that incredibly challenging question, and you can email offthecarguy.com website, there's a little form there on the feedback form, just as Betty Jason and Mike Piccone did last week, go ahead and be the first in this week. You'll get an addition to your wardrobe of a coat of a car guy, sweatshirt or t-shirt, and we'll hit this again next week as we continue the trivia adventures. Is that fair to say, Ace Miller?
An adventure every week.
Who founded General Motors? Our question of the week. Ace Miller, thanks for being back.
Yes.
Let's get together for a longer discussion of automotive history.
I think that's a great idea.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you, Ace. And again, that website is thecarguy.com. There's a feedback form right there for you to respond to the trivia question with, or if you've got a topic or idea or some feedback about what you appreciate having covered in the automotive world. Thank you all for joining us for this segment of The World of Wheels. And this brings us to the close of another visit with all of you right here on The Car Guy Show. Join us here again next week for another segment from the Coastal Riviera right here in Santa Barbara on News Talk 990 KTMS and thecarguy.com. Keeping you car wise, I'm Steve Ford, The Car Guy.